Acts chapter 21, and we'll read from verse 1. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them, that's the elders from Ephesus, and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Kos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from thence unto Patara, and finding a ship sailing over unto Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. So you can see Phoenicia right over there on the right-hand side. That was the large journey, number 9. Now, when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city. And we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them one day. And the next day that we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. The same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus saith the Holy Ghost, So shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem, for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. And there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Mnason of Cyprus, an old disciple, with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. Amen. May God bless this reading also. There we are. Well, we have the opportunity here to continue with the Apostle Paul on his journey as he concludes this third missionary journey. But it must have been hard for Paul to leave the Ephesians as he did. It seems clear that both parties knew that this was the last time that they would meet upon earth. And at the same time, there was all of this anxiety swirling around as to what Paul would meet when he got to Jerusalem. But Paul was determined that he would go there for the feast, and that's what he set out to do. So he and his friends took ship. They went from Miletus to Kos, from Kos to Rhodes, from Rhodes to Patara, and there they headed to Jerusalem from there. And it's interesting to see the way that the writer Luke speaks about getting the ship to go to Tyre. It's almost as if he feels it had been providential that they suddenly discovered that here was a ship that would, as it were, take them all the way to Tyre. Because that was a long journey, and it's pretty obvious as we see them moving from Miletus to Kos to Rhodes and down through these various other towns that they're pretty much just hopping in perhaps little coastal boats all the way along the coast from port to port. But this ship that they find now is going to take them all the way to Tyre, so perhaps a larger boat. And they're able to go on that south side of Cyprus as it makes its way directly to the port of Tyre. It was a long journey, and perhaps here we can see that there is good precedent for gospel preachers to be travelling to minister between these different places. And we know that increasingly for some congregations that is something which is now just part and parcel of their church experience, because there are fewer preachers, it seems today, than there are congregations who wish to hear the gospel preached. That's a subject as well for prayer, that the Lord would be gracious to raise up men and commit unto them the abilities and the gifts of preaching the gospel for him. Here we see that the apostle travelled, and no doubt he was a blessing to all that were met along the way, although nothing is actually mentioned about the individual ports that they went to at this stage. Until they get to Tyre, and this is a notable stop, because here the believers are obviously part of this general anxiety that is felt for the well-being of the apostle, knowing that if he continued on this journey to Jerusalem, then trouble would meet him there. And yet it seems that all of these warnings merely come to reinforce the apostle's own commitment and dedication to this task. Because it seems that the apostle, having been spoken to by God the Holy Spirit in a vision about the fact that he would be blessed in his ministry in all the cities where he preached, took that as a word of promise that if he could go to Jerusalem also, that was a city, and if the Holy Spirit said that his ministry would be blessed in all the cities where he preached, then to press on, that message would be blessed also in Jerusalem. So it's very obvious that Paul, as well as these other prophets, knew that there was danger in Jerusalem for him. And of course, we will come to that in subsequent weeks, God willing. But there was such courage and boldness on the part of the apostle, such confidence in the Lord, that he took these warnings more as confirmations of the blessing of God upon the ministry than deterrence. And I want to point something else out to you, which I thought was just delightful as I read it and sort of meditated upon it a little. And that is in verse 5. Isn't that a lovely picture there of family worship? I'm not so sure that there's very many places in the Word of God where we see so clearly the way in which the Lord's people, the disciples that were found here at Tyre, so involved and included their children. We read about Eutychus, and it seems that he was a young man, but here it speaks about children. And their wives and children were involved in the worship there. So that these brothers and sisters, they gathered their whole household together in order to commune and fellowship and worship with Paul and his party. And we're told that they journeyed, as Paul was due to leave, they journeyed together to the seashore where Paul and the party would take a ship and sail further down the coast. And there they prayed with him. They knelt down on the sand together. What a beautiful prayer meeting that must have been, with these disciples joining Paul, kneeling in the sand and hearing him pray. pray for their well-being and them praying for his onward journey and what he would meet in Jerusalem. And they took their children with them. They took their children with them. Those children would grow up knowing that they had heard the Apostle Paul preach the gospel. They had heard him pray for them and call upon the great apostle, call upon God to pour down his blessing upon them. It's an encouragement to us, surely, to bring our children into the experience of fellowship with us, to share with them in prayer and have them share with us in our honouring of God, to observe the worship that is going on and learn in that worship what it is to be a follower and see from the example of their parents what it is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God knows we cannot save our children, but God has blessed us here with a pattern that we can bring our children under gospel truth. From Tyre, they sailed to Ptolemais and on to Caesarea and to the house of Philip the Evangelist. Here's another delightful connection in the Word of God. For it seems very likely that this Philip the Evangelist, he wasn't an apostle, but yet he had this gift of evangelism. And he was surely the preacher here in Caesarea. And it seems as if he may have been that same man who was involved in the episode with the Ethiopian eunuch, for he too was Philip the Evangelist. And if it's the same Philip as it seems to be, then perhaps it was here that Luke got all the information, because Luke is present with the apostle here. We can see that what does it call it? The second person plural, the we, is being used by Luke as he writes this passage. So it may well be that this is where Luke got all the information about the incident of the Ethiopian eunuch. I would like to think that that was a first-hand account that Luke was able there to enter into his text. And Philip's daughters, we're told, were present. These were unmarried girls. It wasn't that they had necessarily taken a vow of chastity or virginity or anything like that. They were just unmarried girls. And yet they had the gift of foretelling the future. I don't imagine that they would stand up in church and preach or anything like that. But here was a gift, as indeed the Old Testament had prophesied, that your sons and your daughters would be able to speak in prophecy and foretell the future. And they too are involved in this foretelling of danger. All compelling Paul to restate his determination to witness in Jerusalem, even if death should befall him. And it seems then, if that was not enough, here comes another man. And this man is recognized by his name. His name is Agabus. And he too comes up out of Judea. And or down out of Judea, if he's coming to Caesarea, because Caesarea was on the coast, so he must have come down to Caesarea. And so he comes, and he too, he uses a graphic description. He takes Paul's girdle, his belt, that piece of cloth that he wore around his tunic to pull it together around his waist, and he ties his hands with this tunic. Or this cloth, this belt. And he says, this is what is going to happen in Jerusalem to the man who owns this belt. Paul undoubtedly was grieved with all of these warnings. And there's a lesson here, perhaps, for us. While we are anxious and eager to support and help one another and pray for one another when trouble comes, there was perhaps just an overstepping with all of these people, and no doubt Paul's compatriots, his travelling friends as well, when they kept on saying to Paul, you mustn't go up, you mustn't go up. They had a passion for him, a heart's desire for his well-being. But Paul has to say to them in verse 13, What mean ye to weep and break my heart? Such was the emotion here that Paul himself was feeling this great emotion, this great weight upon him, even to the point of breaking his heart. They were aggravating with their warnings the trouble ahead. Let us learn a lesson here. There may come a time when we have to warn one another about what it is that's happening. But once we have warned, once we have said our piece, there is a time to leave these matters in the Lord's hand and to say, as was agreed upon in the end, the will of the Lord be done. We can take our precautions. We can do that which is wise and appropriate. We can wash our hands. We can maintain our distance. We can endeavour to be aware of the needs of one another, whether that's wearing masks or not. And then we let the will of the Lord be done. Finally, we are told that Paul and the party take carriages for the last part of their journey. Somebody asked me a few weeks ago, they wondered how these journeys were taken. Well, here we're told that carriages were used and probably some beasts of burden were employed either to pull individuals or at least that stuff that had been carried hitherto in ships all the way through this third missionary journey is terminated, is finalized with the carriages being used. And there's a reference to an old man here, Mnason of Cyprus. And I think it's delightful again that Luke takes a moment to give us this man's name, this old disciple, this old believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he reminds us in so doing that though one might be old, there are still opportunities to serve the Lord. Such things as hospitality, which was what Mnason's role was to be. He had a house in Jerusalem. And in that house, which was big enough apparently to house the apostle and his party, Mnason would have the privilege of providing care and attention to these preachers of the gospel in Jerusalem. Such things are done as unto the Lord. It's as if people are inviting the Lord himself into their homes when these offerings of graciousness are provided. And what a wonderful service it is that the Lord gives us to be able to care for the needs of one another in these ways. So we are delighted to make mention of Mnason of Cyprus here in just this little work that was done. But a little work is unto the Lord, and his testimony resonates hundreds, thousands of years later as the Lord's people note and remark and remember Mnason of Cyprus and the hospitality that he was able to show to the Apostle Paul. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to us upon this passage this morning. Amen.